meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning in to The Winds of Change, Wednesday here. Father Tom Coy's with you again to wrinkle your brain a bit. That's what it's all about.
Whoa.
And
you just wrinkled my brain, man.
And that's what it's all about. When you're in front of the radio, or you gotta be prepared to exercise your brain. You know, Tony. Hey, it's good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Father. It's good to be back here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been missing my classes.
It is. It's an adventure. Mm-hmm.
Always an adventure.
What's it an adventure in?
Both time and space.
I like that. That sounds good.
Yes. I like that too.
And both time and space are slapping us in the face.
Exactly.
Maybe we could say that. And you know what? Let me just remind. Does this make any sense?
I know this.
What is the buzz? What is the buzz? Last week I did some thoughts on the Jesus Christ Superstar mm-hmm. phenomenon. That's making a comeback. It's an interesting topic, and maybe I want to get into a little bit of that. But I also, I don't know, one of the big news items on the plate today is the Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody Zuckerberg, is it Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, I think it's Mike Zuckerberg.
Founder of Facebook, the young billionaire. and got to admit, it's a great invention, you know. Yeah. If you invent something that everybody wants, that's what a great inventor does. And certainly harnessed the power of the internet in a way that it caught on like wildfire, of course. But the issue du jour is not on the one hand, the first issue du jour you might think about that Father Tom Coy's wants to talk about when he talks about Facebook is how do you get teenagers to un-Facebook themselves? You know, that's one of the things that comes up. It is so captivating. I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit. I think the new topic du jour, which Mark Zuckerberg's talking with the congressional hearing yesterday, is of more fundamental significance than teenagers talking with their friends. Young people and people of all ages are connected to their friends, you mm-hmm. know? And I see someone who's connected to their friends on Facebook, and a lot of bells and whistles and alarms do go off. Warning, Will Robinson. Of course there is.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, no, Will Robinson.
Yeah, he just came in.
That's right. I love that little robot.
Well, right.
Wasn't a very little robot. He was a big robot.
Right, but he hears us and he comes in.
That's right. There are warnings about Facebook in terms of being primarily, and it has a lot to do with two things. One is being led astray by bad people, just in the sense of wanting, again, to be popular, like has always been an issue with young people, and the trying to be popular and the outright devastating feeling of being unfriended by someone, you know, I could see how young, unstable, emotional driven people, especially teenagers, can be devastated by an unfriending. Somebody unfriended me.
Right.
I, as a older, stable, non-emotional, intellectual priest, sometimes feel bad when I reject an invitation. You know, you get an invitation to be friends on Facebook. I say, I don't know this person, you know. And so I reject the
invitation. Let's be honest. A lot of times you don't know who that is anyway.
Yeah. I mean, but being a priest, I assume they know me.
Right.
You know? And so I say, oh, maybe it was somebody at a meeting that liked my sermon or talk or something, and maybe I should befriend them, and, you know. So, but I flick it off my shoulder like a ladybug that crawls onto my hand or something.
And you don't know what that person then feels slighted.
Right.
Why wouldn't you accept them as a friend, and then all of a sudden you don't know what happens?
Exactly. So, and that's me
Isn't
talking.
Isn't it funny how that works?
That's me talking as an older, stable-minded priest person, but a unstable, emotion-driven young person, these are amplified. So that's certainly one warning, and that's certainly something we can be abreast of. That is an issue of the Facebook phenomenon, as it were. Another angle, I think, another warning that can be thrown out there is paying attention to the people you're with. You know, it's easy to be in a group and not be too tuned in, you know, because sometimes what's going on in front of you is not as important as what's going on. Typical example, sitting around a dinner table with teenagers and our children and parents, and the parents are talking about what they saw on the news and our tax is going to go up, or what about our investments? Are they, or do we? How's the car running? Did you get the Did you get the groceries yesterday? And of course, a teenager is like, but my friend is breaking up with her friend, or so.
And I'm so sad. This is the most important thing in my life right now. Who cares about politics?
Right. And I sort of get it, you know. Yeah. If I was a teenager and I had a friend who was going through a hard time, and they wanted to share something with me, I'd be more interested in what that friend is sharing with me than whether or not Dad got the car fixed.
In my day, we called people on the phone and we talked to people and we knew those things right away because we had relationships.
Yeah.
Now you have relationships through a computer, which is odd in itself.
Yeah, but you still have relationships. Facebook is amplifying those relationships. Mm-hmm. It's not wiping them out in a certain sense. I think a good virtue to develop, which is what we all need, is how to be interested in the other person when you're not interested in the other person.
Right.
I think that's just a basic virtue. When you're with people, if they're talking about something boring that doesn't interest you, it's very easy to tune them out, of course. Mm-hmm. And if someone else wants to talk to you about something you're very interested in, you're going to plug in. And so, that's what's happening around the dinner table or around anything. We aren't really trying to tune into the people that we're with. And understandably so, because they're not sharing many interesting things with us right now, you know? And so the question then comes, is it whose fault is it, or where does the problem lie? You can't always be in deep, interesting conversations. I guess you might.
But you remember when kids used to, and I hate to say this because I hate when it was said to me, seen and not heard.
Right.
But again, right. You know, when you're at a dinner table, and, you know, I find this even myself when I'm out with my family and we're, you know, maybe having dinner somewhere and, you know, here's the kid. He's so bored that he's playing on his phone instead of, you know, having a conversation with people. We don't do that anymore. We escape into whatever, which is fine. But again, you're at a table, you're amongst family, let's communicate. There's no communicating unless it's on that computer. And yeah. That's not cool.
Yeah. So the challenge is, I'm going to put the challenge on both ends of the spectrum. Mm. There's different challenges for the teenager and the parent, mm-hmm. or if they're both the same age, because it happens in peer groups as well. You could see six young people
not paying attention to each other,
sitting around at a table and all.
Right.
So it's not necessarily the age.
Right.
I'm interested in what I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much interested in what you're interested in.
We just happen to be at the same time, at the same table.
Yeah, yeah. And whoa. So there, that's a brain wrinkle.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick. I think that was a primary brain wrinkle.
That's what I feel.
So you, I've got to challenge both the person who is ignoring and the person who feels ignored.
Okay. That's not fair.
It isn't.
That's not fair at all.
What?
That's not fair.
Do you remember what this one is?
I know, I like this.
It's not fair. It's so funny that Nick found that one because
yeah.
I just watched that episode in Twilight Zone a couple of weeks ago.
I thought that was Nick himself because I've heard him do that.
Well, many people accuse Nick of being in the Twilight Zone.
Right.
But he wasn't exactly in one of the episodes.
It's a good place to be sometimes.
That was Brigidus Meredith.
Really?
The guy who plays the penguin.
Oh,
the
with
old
the glasses,
Batman.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that something? Anyways, so I got to challenge the one texting to find interest in the boring person they're with.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it that way, even though they wouldn't really say, oh, you're boring.
Right.
But you're not as interesting as this over here.
Exactly.
And so you do have to struggle sometimes to find a boring person interesting. For some, it's very hard. then on the other side, the one who feels slighted, you have to try to be more interesting. as opposed to just talking about what you want to talk about, try to talk about something that is interest to them.
Hmm.
That, I think, is the only way to break down this paralysis mm-hmm. that we have.
I have another way.
Oh, yes.
I'll take that kid's phone or his computer and slam it against the wall.
Okay, that works
say,
sometimes, yeah.
You're going to listen to what I got to say, and we're going to have a conversation like two human beings do. That's just mine. I wouldn't advise that for anybody, but that's
just you.
What I would do.
Friends, that's just Tony talking. Don't try this at home.
I don't take any responsibility for what happens.
Right. Don't try this at home, my friend. Well, you might want to try it. No, obviously parents do take cell phones away.
Just sometimes you get in that situation. And again, I say this jokingly, but there's times when, again, I think we have to be the, not so much the person that, you know, you have to be the, in a sense, the leader, the example. I mean, mm-hmm, if you have a situation, and I've seen this on many occasions, I even have it, you know, with my own family. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sitting at the table. I mean, there's many a times I've said, put the phones down. Let's mm-hmm. keep this down now. I want to see you. I haven't seen you in a week.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a conversation.
But you're on for an interesting topic.
Am I?
I think that's what I'm trying to, you know, that's why talk radio, that's why people who tune into The Winds of Change and other talk radio do have an advantage. I think that they can often get into topics of interest.
Right.
Because let's face it, a lot of times people talk in a group is just about me. You know, you get in a group of people and even five people talking around in a circle, you know, going from one to another. They're all just talking about me.
Me.
And, okay, let's say that that's part of reality. I'll still say, well, then the person listening, a virtue of the person listening is to say, wow, I want to get to know you. Why am I not interested in you talking about you? Well, because I want to talk about me or something. But a virtue, a Christian virtue, I do believe is listening to someone talking about themselves and appreciating.
Yeah.
Appreciating them. And then the art of asking questions and leading questions and all the rest comes into play. Okay, but that's one angle of the Facebook, mm-hmm. and that's maybe what people would like us to discuss. And, well, we just did to some extent, but we didn't get to the point that I want to discuss.
That's what I want to.
Which is more fundamental, and right. I think it's a huge issue, and that has to do with some of the things that Mark Zuckerberg said in Washington just yesterday, and I got a couple clips regarding that. So, but Nick wants us to take a break, so we will take a break, you're going to hold on, my friends. I'm Father Tom Coyce, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush, and you're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank everyone who donated during our pledge drive. Please keep us in your prayers and on the air by donating at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely to Winds of Change.
Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. A few little congressional hearings has got us talking about Facebook, unless you've been living under a rock, which many of our listeners probably do, you know.
It's a good place sometimes.
It's a great place sometimes, exactly. And I always think of the monasteries, you know.
Yeah.
I often think, too, when I was a young seminarian and I heard about the seminarians of years ago, one of the major differences that our priest faculty used to always tell me, I learned about the seminary of years gone by from two sources. One was my two uncles who were priests, but also from the priests that were our teachers in the seminary. And one of the major complaints of the priests that were our teachers was always, well, they didn't let us read any newspapers. you know, in days gone by, when you went to the seminary, you cut yourself off from the world, so to speak, and getting a newspaper or magazine was rare. You know,
What's a newspaper?
What is a newspaper? Yeah, now they're asking it.
Exactly.
It's sort of like what you download, and if you printed it out, that would be a newspaper.
Oh, I see.
Now we just got news pages that are digital. Anyways, but I remember thinking very strongly, I'm glad I didn't live in the era of no newspapers in the seminary.
Yeah.
Obviously, even taking political science classes or what have you, you feel out of it. So I guess what I'm saying is there's some the rock, that's where this came from. Living under a rock sometimes is a good thing. And that little tidbit. Yeah, there it is.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That guy's really getting wrinkled today.
We need to, see, because sometimes the stuff of the news is good to avoid. And I'm sure the spirit and the wisdom behind the seminaries of old was there's going to be a lot of news flashes. There's going to be a lot of stories, a lot of things of interest, but they don't touch on the fundamental, bigger questions. And that is very true. The day-to-day news items don't often get to the bigger issues. That's why one of my radio heroes, Dennis Prager, has what he calls the ultimate issues hours. He starts off all the time with that, and I applaud him so much. That is a huge part of a religious reflective life, where and I even get it somewhat with sports. I love sports. I've always played sports, and I was fairly good when I was younger. and yet, season after season, like the Hawks this year were smelly. I guess, what else can you say? They did not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I could say some other things, but I think that's the best
one. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that, you know. And, but even in the years when they are in the playoffs and they're winning, it's like, yeah, we've been there, done that.
Right.
It is exciting. I can't deny it.
It gets old after like four times or so.
Yeah. It's kind of like what St. Paul refers to in the scriptures when he says, I've run the race, I have fought the good fight. He's using an analogy to sports for Christianity and obviously putting Christianity ahead of the prize. The prize that the athlete gets is here today, gone tomorrow. But Christianity is attempting to go deeper. Anyways, okay. So here's a snippet from Senator Ted Cruz, who was talking to Mark Zuckerberg. And I think this sort of captures the essence of what I think we need to discuss a little bit further. Let's see if I can get it here for all our wonderful listeners. It goes...
Conservatives. It's a theme we discussed last night with internet stars Diamond and Silk, who did get some good press today, and it came up on Capitol Hill during Senator Ted Cruz's...
That's Laura Ingraham, of course.
...of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
Gizmodo reported that Facebook had purposely and routinely suppressed conservative stories from trending news, has blocked a post of a Fox News reporter, has blocked... over two dozen Catholic pages, and most recently blocked Trump supporters Diamond and Silk's page with 1.2 million Facebook followers after determining their content and brand were, quote, unsafe to the community. Are you aware of any ad or page that has been taken down from Planned Parenthood?
Senator, I'm not, but let me just...
How about moveon.org?
Sorry?
How about moveon.org?
I'm not specifically aware of those.
How about any Democratic candidate for office?
I'm not specifically aware. I mean, I'm not sure.
That's sort of that's what I want to discuss here. I think Senator Cruz is onto something there. And I love the way he didn't just let Zuckerberg keep talking.
Yeah.
When he first says, you know, their Fox News anchors mm-hmm. were blocked from Facebook, and Zuckerberg probably wanted to jump in with, well, there was good reason for that. But then he comes back and says, over 24 Catholic pages. Now, I didn't even know that, but I don't doubt it for a minute. Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest, sometimes I worry about my little YouTube channel mm-hmm. or our Facebook page. Because I don't think he would appreciate, he meaning Zuckerberg and the people that he's trying to organize, the issue of sincerity comes into play because it's promoted as a neutral platform, and this is what's coming out now. It's not really a neutral platform. So, to be perfectly honest, I don't mind that someone would say, well, this isn't an absolutely neutral platform. I would respect someone who would say, well, of course there's some things I don't want in my organization. Okay, very good. Then let's move to the next step is, and how do you determine what is in and what is out? And that's where it gets deeper and more challenging. Have you heard any of this kind of stuff, Tony?
Yeah,
for all?
Yeah, because I've been following a little of this.
Yeah. And obviously that Mark Zuckerberg would, if he was a little more honest, he might say, yeah, there are some, he uses the term hate speech mm-hmm. or unsafe for the community. That's really a stretch, or hate speech. I don't know how else to interpret that except for the fact that Christians stand against, let us say, gay marriage, and those who would say two men who join in some physical way, Lord knows exactly how. well, I think a lot of other people besides the Lord know mm-hmm. what they're doing, but it's different than what the Lord wanted it to be.
Intended. Exactly.
Intended. Anyways, anyone who would speak up in that fashion would be considered hateful. Hate speech, it's right that we. I almost yearn for the more civil ways of the early American empire, an empire. We weren't an empire. We threw off an empire to become a nation, but in the early days of the American experiment, we'll say it that way. I like that phrase. The early days of the American experiment. It was not uncommon to go into the halls of Congress and see different senators screaming at each other.
Yep. I think that still happens now, too.
Well, not in the chambers.
Really?
It all, on a very rare occasion, yeah. but it's happening outside and in different. Mm-hmm. There was a psychological term that I learned in the seminary, which was used all the time, and I'm sure you've heard of it, passive-aggressive. You've heard that, right?
Yes, I have.
Passive-aggressive. See, when you're in the public forum and you're debating in a civilized way, then outside that public forum, when you're really mad, then you let off steam in different ways. So you have a passive-aggressive. That was one of the mortal sins of seminary formation type wisdom, shall mm-hmm. we say. Whatever you are, you don't want to be passive aggressive. And I can tip my hat to some extent, because what that means is I'll smile at you in front of the class, but mm-hmm. I'll stab you in the back when no one's looking.
Hey, that sounds like my job.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And so, I deal with that every day.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Don't we all, unfortunately?
Don't we all, exactly.
Yeah. So at first I thought, oh, what's this congressional hearings going to be, mm-hmm. But it did, at least it's something more in the open that I've many people have thought, have known it or appreciated it. I've been following Dennis Prager, as I mentioned before, and I'll mention him again. He has a wonderful series called Prager University. He has all these little five-minute clips, and they have a little lesson, and a number of those have been labeled hate speech. Hate speech? Or they're and especially on the Ten Commandments. He's trying to teach the Ten Commandments, and they're labeled hate speech. This is unsafe. And what is it? What is it? What are they worried? A return of a stronger Christian ethic. I think that's what they find. The classic Christian ethic is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, those who have been freed from the straitjackets of Christian no's and Christian parameters and the principles.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Well, there's even more to be wrinkled.
There's even more to be.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, well, when we come back, we're gonna get a little bit back into that, and maybe I'll share another little tidbit from Jesus Christ Superstar. How about we got to keep that ball rolling, because it's quite interesting, I think, because it deals with Christology and doctrine and important heresies that go unnoticed, like many other things. Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coy, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
We at Winds of Change thank everyone who donated during our pledge drive. Please keep us in your prayers and on the air by donating at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely to Winds of Change.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome everyone. I'm Father Tom Coyce here. I might need to welcome some new listeners who may have found WNDZ by virtue of the Archdiocese of Chicago, with its relevant radio hour, has switched. Maybe some people know that, or maybe they don't. Probably all our listeners know something called relevant radio.
Mm-hmm.
They do a marvelous job, of course. And they're headquartered up there in Green Bay, Wisconsin. They're affiliates all over the country now, which God bless them. But the Archdiocese of Chicago bought an hour, and it used to be 8 to 9, or was it 9 to 10? I think it was 8 to 9, mm-hmm. and it was just on their regular, it was on their station. But for some reason, maybe I'll find out the deeper reasons. I don't know.
There's always reasons.
there's always some reason, yeah. But anyways, they switched over to 750, so they're somewhat partners with us. They're earlier, now 9 to 10, I believe. And so there may be some new listeners to the Winds of Change who have found us because they put their button on 750. If that is you, my friends, God bless you. And
welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah. You might need to tie your seatbelt a little tighter mm-hmm. when you listen to Winds of Change because we sail through some stormy seas.
Maybe we should give the warning, and although it's already halfway into the show,
yeah,
and warning is always important.
It is, and what would that be?
That you must listen for the whole hour.
Yes, and stop.
And stop working any kind of heavy machinery.
Heavy machinery.
It's some thinking is going on.
Driving. If you've taken pills of one kind or another that right. relax your brain, you may be in deeper trouble than you realize.
Brain wrinkling will occur.
Well, it does.
And it's on for a little bit, and then it kind of clears up unless it's real deep.
Exactly. Exactly.
You just wrinkle my brain, man.
There we go.
As always. Okay. Now I want to, I'm going to come back to Mark Zuckerberg. And I do think we, there's something called ideologies. There's something, there is a kind of, I sense it, and I need to talk about it a little bit so that we can figure out what to do. There is something called the ideological civil war battle going on. We need to be aware of it. We need to be able to define it as best we can. Because if you don't define it right, you could end up defining it wrong. That's sort of tautological. Very reasonable statement on my part, mm-hmm. I must say. But if you don't define it right, then you don't get to the deepest first principles, the issues. There are some differences, I'll put it this way. There are many differences that we can and we should be able to live with. But equally so, there are some that we cannot live with. Now we got to decipher those. We got to know the difference, and don't confuse the part of what wisdom is to be able to see the differences. And maybe this little snippet from Jesus Christ Superstar will help us because obviously Jesus brings out some of these deep moral issues. One of my favorite little dialogues in Jesus Christ Superstar, and I don't have the new version from New York with John Legend and Brendan Dixon, but I have it's the same from the old, mm-hmm. well, the words are the same and the melody is the same, Baba. But one of my favorite parts of the Jesus Christ Superstar story is the dialogue with Pilate and Jesus, although it's not much of a dialogue because Jesus doesn't say much. But here, let's take a quick reminder of what it is, and then
the king is once again my guest.
Okay, I'll just stop it. We all were through Holy Week. We know what the Passion is. Here's Jesus coming into Herod. Coming into Pilate after he had been to Herod. Remember, Pilate first sees Jesus. He says, get out of here. He's not under my jurisdiction. He goes to Herod. Herod says, get out of here. You're just a fool. Now he's back to Pilate again. Here we go.
And why is this? Was Herod unimpressed?
We turn to Rome to sentence Nazareth. We have no law to put a man to death.
Okay, I'm going to update it a little bit by saying this. Let me tie my two topics together here, listeners. What if Jesus? Is it much of a stretch to say that when we listen to Jesus Christ Superstar, as whenever when we listen to stories about Jesus, that Jesus represents Christianity. Is that too far? Is that too much of a stretch?
No, not too far.
So we got Jesus representing Christianity, and we got Herod representing the government. And here the Jewish people come and they say, we have no law to put a man to death. I'm going to change that. Let us say it is Mark Zuckerberg. And he's saying, he doesn't have a law to ban conservatives, but he needs the government to help him ban conservatives. So now he's coming, and but unfortunately our government is not completely on his side. So put these two stories together in your mind, and let's listen to what comes next after that part of Jesus Christ Superstar.
We need him crucified. It's all you have to do. We need him crucified. It's all you have to do.
Okay, now let us say that it is the people that are looking to Mark Zuckerberg who want Mark Zuckerberg to crucify or to do away with those 24 Catholic channels.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the people that find Diamond and Silk offensive because they're such President Trump fans.
Yeah.
They're going to Mark Zuckerberg and they're saying put them out of our
sight.
Our sight. There you go.
Crucify us.
And of course, this is what comes next.
Talk to me, Jesus Christ. You have been brought here, manacled, beaten by your own people. Do you have the first idea why you deserve it? Listen, King of the Jews, where is your kingdom? Look at me. Am I a Jew?
Of course, that's Pilate. And he's not in the theological debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's and obviously a lot of people could say, oh, yeah, I wasn't. The government was trying to stay out of that theological debate in that sense. It was trying to be neutral about the debate over who the Messiah is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your people brought you to me, you know, to judge you. And he's going to say in just a bit, I need a crime. And to say you're the king of the Jews is silly, but that's not a crime. Mm-hmm. You know, let the Jews deal with that. And you know, remember before this little dialogue takes place in the Bible as well, remember the fact that the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders did not want to enter the temple. And I've always thought that's a strange little detail. And I need to point out to people that you might look at that detail and say, ooh, see, in the story of the Passion of Jesus, here's a good example of the importance and the necessity of the separation of church and state. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the Jewish people are respecting the separation of church and state. But wrong interpretation, I firmly believe. To see that little detail is to realize not that the Jewish people were trying to promote the separation of church and state. They were protesting because Rome wouldn't permit the unity of church and state. The Jewish people wanted a unity between church and state. The Jewish leaders completely believed that they should be able to be running their own country, as it were. But, of course, under the domination of the Roman Empire wouldn't let them run their own country. You are part of our country. And when you're in our house, you will follow our rules, as every mom or dad says to their mm-hmm. teenage kids somewhere along the line. And so that's what Rome was saying to the Jewish people. So the Jewish people not going into the praetorium or into the governor's, Pilate's house, mm-hmm. was there protesting, you know. And I always thought that, oh, well, we won't enter your palace because we will be defiled, you know. That took a lot of guts to say that to Pilate. And, well, then get out of here. If you think just talking to me is going to defile you, then get out of my face, you know. That's...
You just wrinkled my brain,
I think,
man.
I just read my mind.
Indeed. Okay, so let's go just a little bit farther. What else does Pilate say?
I've got no kingdom in this world, and through. There may be a kingdom for me somewhere if I only knew. Then you're a king. It's you that say I am. I look for truth and find that I get damned.
But what is truth? Not easy to define. We both have truths. Are yours the same as mine?
Of course.
What is truth?
What is truth? And, you know, I'm going to criticize the words that we find in Jesus Christ Superstar vis-a-vis the words we find in the Bible, because Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice put on the lips of Pilate, we both have truths. It doesn't say that in the Bible.
That's right.
In a sense, that's the secular view is to say there you can't know truth. So we don't both have truths. I have strong opinions, and you have what you think are truths. Mm-hmm. And in my book, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to a claim on the truth. And that's obviously what's going on between Pilate and Jesus, and what we see going on today. Let's take another quick little break, and we'll come back. We'll see how far we get with Jesus and Mark Zuckerberg. Father Tom Coyes, you're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
News flash. This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're doing a little trip down memory lane, but yeah. It's not just memory lane for those of us who listen to Jesus Christ Superstar back in the 70s.
Right.
But it's also coming back now, and it's, of course, timeless. Mm-hmm. Timeless. What else? What else goes on here?
When
Jesus... What do you mean? You crucify your king! He's done no wrong, no, not the slightest thing.
We have a king,
but this is new. Respect for Caesar. Till now, this has been noticeably lacking.
There's a line I got to emphasize. One of my favorite lines of it, when they're shouting, crucify him, and Pilate is surprised a bit. Now, you don't get that in the Bible. Hmm. But it doesn't contradict. I like it because it could fit. Because he wanted to wash his hands of this thing. And he says, this respect for Caesar, this is new. Up till now, it has been noticeably lacking. I think that's a great insight into this hypocrisy on the ones who want to kill Jesus, mm-hmm. who want to do away with Christianity. And I see that happening today in our modern world. those who want to use the government to do away with Christianity. Get these obnoxious Christians
out of my face.
Out of my face. Let's go to Washington, D.C., and let's get the government to help us. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. This respect for Washington, D.C. and government, up to now, it's been noticeably lacking. And so the eternal return of the same, as one of my philosophy teachers used to say, is there's that relative appreciation for it. Oh, wait a minute. Government? Hippies were all anti-government. Mm-hmm. We don't want no stinking government. Now that they feel they have a cause they can't get rid of by themselves, or this force, that's, shall we just call it Christianity, is powerful enough that it's making inroads. I got to say this about, remember I said before the break that Dennis Prager, who's being blocked and on his on YouTube channels and all the rest, my little nephew, who was on this radio show before when he was in high school, and he's gone through some of the ups and downs of high school and college life, and I'm so happy that he's kind of had a rediscovery of Catholicism as something great.
We should get him back here. It'd be an interesting...
Yeah. The people that are at those Focus conferences, we were at the Focus conference that was here in Chicago in January, blah, blah, blah. And but anyways, he said there were two things that pulled him back into Catholicism. One was Prager University.
Wow.
And the other was Peter Jordan, the psychologist from Jeffrey Gordon? No, Jeffrey Gordon is a NASCAR driver. I think it's Peter Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Something Jordan.
My mind is. But anyways, he's not a Catholic. Neither of them are Catholics.
Wow.
But they shined light on a conservative perspective that was foreign to him in a certain sense, or that was the enemy, but they didn't understand it. And therefore, I'm going to venture to say this, all you Catholic catechists, priests, bishops, I don't know, maybe Pope Francis is listening to Winds of Change, you know, all of us who are interested in passing on the faith, take notice of that, that there is a part of our recovering the goodness of Catholicism that shares the political world. It's not equal to, and it's hard to, you got to, in a certain sense, bounce back and forth between issues, but to completely avoid the political, ideological issues of the day is a mistake. Mm-hmm. And we're leaving our young people suspect to the winds of those powerful winds, and our... As deep and as beautiful and as wonderful and as central as the relationship with Jesus is, which it is obviously, but if we're missing the ideological debates and we're just saying, pray to Jesus, talk to Jesus, we're rowing with only one oar in the water. Maybe that's the way to say. So, okay, we only got a few minutes here. Let's see what we can just get to. Let's see what else the pilot is saying.
This is Jesus. Why is he different? You Jews produce Messiah by the sack full. Talk to me, Jesus Christ. Your Jesus Christ, I'll agree he's mad, he ought to be locked up, but that is not a reason to destroy him. He's a sad little man, not a king or god, not a thief. I need a crime.
Jesus, he's the voice of a screamer. Look on to you, the last name of Caesar. Yeah!
Isn't that just wild?
Wow.
And Pilate, again, is trying to play the neutral government person. And in that sense, you know, he's to be applauded. But the ultimate issues of truth, of right and wrong, of good and evil, need more than human man-made laws. That's why I didn't like the comment that Brandon Victor Dixon, who plays Judas in the New York version of Jesus Christ Superstar, he took on Vice President Pence when he played in Hamilton, and that is where he says we have to get beyond the issues of good and evil, right and wrong, they're using the concept of life is complex, which we all agree on. Life is complex, but that doesn't mean you can do away with right and wrong, good and evil.
Exactly.
That's what's at stake in a very real sense here. With the little bit of time we have left, I've got to, let me see if I could read. Here is a little ditty from a guy by the name of Peter Layden, and he's a political commentator who is saying something that I agree with on the one hand, but am nervous about on the other. I agree. He's saying that there's a civil war kind of brewing, and one or the other side has to win. In other words, the ideas of bipartisanship or coming to a compromise between ultimate issues of right and wrong or good and evil, we're discovering some points where compromise can't happen. Kind of reminds me when I talk to young couples getting married, I say, you know, oh, some people will tell you the great wisdom of marriage is to know how to compromise. And I'll say, not really. The great wisdom of marriage is knowing what you won't compromise on, and discovering what are your ultimate. Here I stand, and I can go no further. But here's what this Layden, Peter Layden, says: two different political cultures, already at odds through different political ideologies, philosophies, and worldviews, can get trapped in a polarizing process that increasingly undermines compromise. They see the world, and I think what he means by they, he's saying they, quote-unquote, the conservatives, they see the world through different lenses, consume different media, and literally live in different places. At some point, one side or the other must win, and win big. The side resisting change, usually the one most rooted in the past systems and incumbent interests, must be thoroughly defeated.
Wow.
Well, that's the words of revolution in a very real sense. And do we want to have a revolution against a nation, a society that has a lot of Christianity rooted in it? I don't think so. Stay tuned, my friends. God bless you for listening. I'm Father Coy's listening. You've been listening to Listener Supported, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see?